Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning, everyone. You know, isn't it a wonderful opportunity this morning to talk again about the Lord Jesus? You know, if you weren't saved last night, and you should have been, because we had a good gospel here last night. If you weren't saved last night, then the Lord, in His goodness to you, is giving you another chance to get saved now in Sunday school. Let's start with a couple of songs, and then we'll pray, and then we'll have a couple more songs maybe, and then we'll tell a little bit from the Word of God, and then have another song, and then a little more from the Word of God, and another song, and a little more from the Word of God, and then we'll be finished, Lord willing. Okay? So let's have a couple hymns. Yes?
Number 47.
Thank you. When He cometh,
when He cometh to make up His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His love and His own, like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in His beauty, bright gems for His crown. He will gather the gems for His kingdom, all the pure ones, all the bright ones, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in His beauty, bright gems for His crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in His beauty, bright gems for His crown.
How about a girl? Number 7? Are you thinking number 7 in this or in the Sunday school book at home? Sunday school book at home. Number 7. Who can help me what that one is? You want to start it, James, please?
And His name shall be called Wonderful.
Now we're going to pray and ask the Lord for His help. Lord Jesus, this morning, we need Thy help in order that we might understand And we think of some of the younger ones here who perhaps have realized that they have done wrong before Thee, our God. And they feel bad about this. And we pray that they may realize that they have sinned and that they need to have their sins forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus, as we heard last night, the precious blood of Jesus. And we pray for those that are a little bit older who have not come to the Lord Jesus yet, that are putting it off. Perhaps they don't realize how bad they are in the sight of a holy God in their sins. We pray that they may come to the Lord Jesus this morning too. And perhaps there's an older one who has never come either. And we pray for salvation for anyone in the room who is still lost and not ready to meet Thee, our God. Lord Jesus, thank Thee so much for dying on the cross, for suffering so that sinners like me could have their sins forgiven. We love Thee, Lord Jesus. Help us now to speak well about Thee, to say good things that are true from Thy word and that would be useful for the blessing of the children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's have another song.
Number 14.
Number 14. Okay. Number 14. Let's sing just the first verse in the chorus, okay? Someone start it, please. Need to ask that question. Are we washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus? I hope each boy and each girl, each older one here today, can say that, yes, I am washed. I am. You know, it's a privilege to be a Christian. It's wonderful. I want to tell a little story. And some of you children already know the story because Uncle George Koval, he told us this story in Rideau Ferry. And a couple weeks ago, or actually last week, I guess, we had what we call in Rideau Ferry a gospel supper. And we have invitations made up. Uncle Andy Mitten, he made up some invitations for us, and we could pass them to our neighbors. And we could invite people to come to our little hall there and hear the gospel. But you know, before the gospel is a supper. And so we decided that we would have a nice roast beef supper for our neighbors. And then a lot of us invited our friends and neighbors. And we had a nice time together. And the Lord blessed the word that was given. But I want to tell you what Uncle George told us. He invited a man to come to the gospel meeting. And, well, to the gospel supper. And the man said, you know, I really like to come to the suppers. But he said, the problem is that after supper, then usually somebody talks for a little while. And he says, I don't like the talk. I don't like to hear that. You know what the talk is about? The talk is about being able to go to heaven through the Lord Jesus and how He died for us on the cross. And you know, this man, he said that he didn't like the talk. And so he didn't want to come to the supper because he didn't want to have to hear the talk. You know, he said something else that's very, 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 very sad. He said, you know what, I don't want to go to heaven. He said, I want to go to hell. That is absolutely terrible. You know, I said to Uncle George after, I said, you know, that man obviously doesn't know what hell is like. If he wants to go to hell, then he doesn't know how bad it is. And this week, as I've been working, and sometimes when I'm having a shower, sometimes when I'm laying in bed, sometimes when I'm praying, I think of this man. And I've been thinking a little bit about hell. I'm going to tell you another story about hell. There used to be a Bible conference in Montreal at a high school when I was a boy. When I used to come to Sunday school like you guys and you girls. And there was a lot of people. And you know, one night there was an old brother. He was probably not that old compared to me now, but I thought he was old. And he was speaking about hell, how bad hell is. And you know what? He reminded all the kids. He reminded us about the things that we have done that are wrong before God. You know, in this world, there's a lot of people who steal stuff. They take things that don't belong to them. And if they want to steal something that's out here, they walk across and they look this way, and they look this way, and they look behind them, and they go, oh, there's nobody going to see. So they reach out, and they take it, and they put it in their pocket, and away they go. And they forget to look up. Because who sees? This boy. God. He sees everything. We don't get away with anything. And that's called a sin when we steal. But that's not the only sin I did. I stole stuff. I was unkind to my brother, to my sisters. I told my dad and mom, no, I'm not going to do that. I was rebellious sometimes. India? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. That's true. That comes from this book, the Bible, that we're going to open in a couple of minutes, Lord willing. But I was just thinking how that a lot of people, they think that they can do bad stuff and get away with it. They can sin and it doesn't matter. If no one else knows, oh well, it's okay then. But that's not the way it is, because God sees everything. And God has a perfect record of everything. And I was telling you about this story when I was a boy. And this man was telling us about our sins and how God was going to hold us responsible for everything that we did that was wrong. Every sin we did. And I got thinking in that meeting about the things that I did. I got thinking about the times that I'd taken things that weren't mine. I'm going to tell you a story about something. My brother used to have a desk, okay? I don't know if my brother's here. Where is he? Is he here? There he is at the back. So he can tell you that this is true if you want to ask him after. He used to have this desk, and in the top drawer of his desk, right, he would have his candy. And you know what? I like candy. So sometimes when Uncle Rob was not there in the room, I would go over and pull open the drawer and reach in and take a candy. That tastes good. And I would eat his candy. That's stealing. And you know what? I thought, I'm okay. My mom doesn't know, my dad doesn't know, and Rob doesn't know. I got away with it. Uh-oh. What about the Lord? The Lord saw me take that candy. And he wrote it down. Sin. Paul took Rob's candy. Right? That's what it is. That's how it works. Every time we sin, it's recorded. Now, what about our sins? God can't have sin in His presence. So, what happens if we die and our sins aren't forgiven? Then we have to go to hell. And we heard about hell last night. And this man in the story of Uncle George, he said, I want to go to hell. But this man doesn't know how bad hell is. Now, I want you to think for a minute about going swimming in the summer. Where I live, there's a lake on one side and a river on the other. And at the end of the day, we're sometimes hot and sweaty. And it feels so good to just get in your bathing suit and go into the water and let the water go all around you. It feels so good. Oh, and you're refreshed. But I want to read a little verse in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 15. Not going to spend a lot of time on this. But in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 at the end, it says, the lake of fire. Now, I like to go swimming in Bass Lake. I like to go swimming in the Rideau River. But those are lakes of water. And when I'm hot, it's so refreshing. But this is telling us a little bit about how awful hell is. A lake of fire. Can you imagine being in a lake that was full of fire? You know, this man said he wanted to go to hell. He wanted to swim in a lake of fire for the rest of eternity? Is he crazy? Let me ask you this. Do you want to swim in a lake of fire? You know, at our house, we have a fireplace in our kitchen that gets really, really, really hot. And that's how we heat our house all winter, because it gets cold where we live. And one day when this little boy, Tom, was little, he was just 2 years old. And a coal, a little burning piece of wood that was red, hot, it trickled out of the fireplace and was sitting on the hearth on the stone. And you know what he thought? He thought, oh, that's pretty. That looks really neat. Look at it. It's beautiful. It's nice and red. And he reached over and he picked it up. And he went, ah! And I grabbed him and our sink was right there. I turned the cold water on, and our water's really cold in the wintertime. I turned it on and I held his hand under the water for a long time until he started to cry and say, it's too cold. And you know, God has made our bodies so well that He didn't even have any mark on His skin when we were done. There was no burn, no scar, nothing. The cold water made it all better. Well, I was thinking of this verse, the lake of fire. What a terrible thing hell is. Now back to the story of when I was a little boy. So what do you think I did? When I got home, back to the motel, I couldn't get to sleep. I remember this very well. I couldn't get to sleep. I was remembering the times that I pulled open the door to the drawer for Uncle Rob's desk. And I'd reached in and I'd taken those Smarties. I'd taken those caramels. I'd taken all the nice things, pieces of gum that I wanted. I remembered that. But I remembered a lot of other bad things I did too. And you know, I remember laying in bed and my brother went to sleep. He was in the bed beside me. He was sleeping fine. And my parents went to sleep, but not me, because I was scared. I knew that I had sinned, and I knew that I wasn't saved. And you know what I did? I didn't get saved. I fell asleep. I didn't get saved. I didn't accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And you know, last night we heard about the love of the Lord Jesus. We heard how the Lord Jesus died on the cross and how His blood washes away sins. And it's the only way we can have our sins forgiven. Was there a boy or a girl? And you said, yes, I've sinned. But then you went to sleep. And you said, oh, I'm not going to get saved now. I'm going to wait a while. You know, that was very foolish for me to do that. What if something had happened to me? What if the Lord Jesus had come and I wasn't ready to go? Then I would have been in this lake of fire. You know, there's some other little things I'm going to tell you about. You know, there's another verse that says three times over. It says, where the fire is not quenched. And it says, the worm dieth not. Now, that's hard for a little guy, a little girl to understand. But there's a little voice in all of us. You know, when I was opening that desk of Uncle Rob's and I was pulling open that little drawer to get the candy, there was a little voice inside of me that said, Paul, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, that little voice comes from God. And that little voice will always remind somebody who had a chance to accept the Lord Jesus. That little voice will always remind them, you sat in Sunday school in Montreal, and that man warned you about this lake that you're in. You know, the fire of hell will never end. And it tells us that hell was not made for people. But you know what? People have to go there that don't want to go to heaven. And I can't believe that man would say that to Uncle George. I don't want to go to hell. He doesn't know how bad it is. He doesn't know. And children, it's terrible. And that's why the Lord Jesus told us more than anybody else how bad it was, so we wouldn't go there, because He loves us so much. And that's why the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross, so that we could have our sins forgiven. That's why His blood was shed. That's why He died. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now we're going to look at a little story in the book of Luke. And this is going to get us into our subject today. Luke chapter 16. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. I hope you boys and girls really love your Bibles. Do you love your Bible? You do. I know you do, because you were smiling when I said that. That's good. Every child here, I trust you love this book. God's wonderful book, the Bible. So Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 19. But before we do, I want to just tell you how important conferences are. I remember them. From when I was a boy, I remember sitting on the front row and thinking, what is that man talking about? Wow, does that affect me? I remember the conferences that I went to when I was a boy. I'm so glad that I got to go. And you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Mr. Roach told us about how thankful we should be that our parents brought us here. You know, I want to ask you boys and girls to do something on the way home if the Lord leaves us here. I want you to thank your parents. Say, thanks, Dad, or thanks, Mom, for bringing me to the conference. I'm so glad I got to hear the meetings, to be with my friends, to have fun at the hotel. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. You know, we need encouragement too, don't we, as parents? So Luke chapter 16. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, boys and girls, we have a dog at our house. Our dog is a pretty big dog, and he has a long tongue. And sometimes, when I hook him up after taking him for a walk, I bend over, and you know what he tries to do? He tries to lick me. His big tongue goes across my face, and I'm like, oh. But this poor man, Lazarus, he was a beggar. He was so poor. He said, please, can you give me something? And so he sat beside the table of this rich man. And when the rich man was done with eating a bone or something, he maybe would leave a little bit on the bone and then push it off the table like this. And it would go on the floor. And then the poor Lazarus, he'd reach over and pick it up. And if there was some food left on it, he would eat it. And then, you know, because he didn't get very good food, he got sick. And he had some sores on him. And then the dogs came and they licked the sores. Don't you feel sorry for this man, Lazarus? He was so poor, he had crummy food, and then the dogs licked his sores. It's really sad. But you know, there's something special about him. You know, he trusted God for the little bit of food that he did get. And when he was sick, he trusted God to help him to feel better. But the rich man, who had all this nice food and dressed in nice clothes, and threw the little bit to the poor man, you know what? I'm afraid from this story that he didn't really worry too much about God. He didn't worry about him. He didn't even think about him. And you know, there's a lot of people in the world, and maybe there's somebody like that here. And you're thankful for all the things God has made. You're thankful for the boat you have. You're thankful for the roads. You're thankful for the lake to swim in, for the place where your house is. You're thankful for the food that you eat. You're thankful for the wood that you burn in your fireplace, for the pretty fire that God made. But you say to God, thanks a lot, but I don't want you. I'll take all the good from you, but you just stay away from me. Let me live my own life. I want to do it my way. You just leave me be. And then I'll just enjoy all you provided for me, but you stay out of my life. Is there somebody like that here today? You say, I like what I have, but God, you just stay right over there. You leave me alone. I can run it myself. Am I speaking to anyone's conscience this morning? I'm speaking to me. It's a tendency in all of our hearts to be independent of God, to want to do it our way. You know, this rich man, he wanted it his way, and he did it his way. You know, the end thereof is the ways of death. We learn about that in Proverbs. Verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, or five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So, I'm going to tell you another little story. I said to my wife yesterday, I said, you know, so-and-so, he's looking older. His hair's getting whiter. And you know, I looked in the mirror this morning, and I'm getting older too. I'm not little anymore. I'm not a young person anymore. I'm sort of upper middle age now. It's kind of scary. But you know what? We can't stay here forever. Just excuse me for a minute. There's a little thing in my Bible case I want to get. Who can tell me what this is? Rebecca. A picture. Okay, now you can tell me a little bit more about this picture. What's the date on the bottom? Right. So this man, he lived from April the 5th, 1945 to September the 27th, 2013. That means that this man in this picture, he died. I love this man. And you know what? He loves the Lord Jesus. So because I love the Lord Jesus too, this man and me are going to spend eternity together in heaven. Isn't that comforting? I worked with this man for 8 years. He's a little older than me. But you know what? He wasn't saved until he was probably almost 40 years old. And he had some real problems in his life. He couldn't control habits that he had. And he was desperate. And one day somebody told him about the Lord Jesus. You know, I went to his funeral, and the man at Hewlett-Packard that hired him gave a testimony of what a good employee he was. And you know what he said? There was a time in Vince's life when he changed. He changed. You know, this man is not a believer. But he could see the change that was wrought in this man because he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You know, I was so glad to be able to be at this man's funeral because it was a happy funeral. We were sad that Vince was gone, but you know, it was a good funeral, if I can say it that way, because people who were at the funeral were told exactly how to get to heaven. How to have their sins forgiven, how Jesus gave his life for sinners like us. And there was an invitation given to everyone that was there to accept the Savior like Vince did and to have their life changed too and to know that they were going to go to heaven. When I was in high school, I went to school with this guy called Gord. Gord and I went to high school, and then we went to university together. So we were friends. We did projects together. We did all kinds of things. He lived on the next street from me for 9 years. I knew Gord very well. And Gord knew the gospel very well, too. But Gord never accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. A couple of weeks ago, his dad died. And so I went to the funeral. And you know what? It was a sad funeral. The man at the front, he didn't talk about how the Lord Jesus died for sinners. He didn't talk about how we can have our sins forgiven. He didn't talk about heaven. He didn't talk about hell. He didn't warn anyone about the lake of fire. You know, I was really disappointed. It was a sad funeral. Not because someone had died. Yes, that's true. But because there was no presentation of the Savior at the funeral. That's a bad funeral. Okay, let's have another song. Okay. 46. Glad and boys to trust in Him. That's why we're here at Sunday school today. And I hope each one of you is trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't, you can right now. Just ask Him to come into your heart. Tell Him you're a sinner, that you need to be forgiven, and He will forgive you. Now, we had in the last story in Luke chapter 16, we had about this rich man. And the rich man, he said that he wanted one drip on the tip of the finger of Abraham's finger, or Lazarus' finger, for him to be comforted a little bit in the flames that he was in. And when we were at Scranton Conference, Mr. Kemp told a story about a man that got lost in the desert. And for 3 days, he didn't have anything to drink, and he was so weak, he was just laying there. And after 3 days, somebody found him in the desert. And they were able to give him some water and some food so that he had nourishment and strength, and he could continue to live, because he was going to die if he didn't get any more water. And somebody said to that man, "What were you thinking about when you were laying in the sand and you had no water and you were so thirsty?" And you know what the man said? He said, "I was thinking about every time I wasted a drop of water, every time I poured water down the sink, every time I got rid of some water, because I wanted some water so bad." Now, what was this man asking for in the flames? He was asking for one little drop on the end of a finger put in his mouth so that he wouldn't be so hot in the flames. And people say, they want to go there? I don't get it. Is there a boy or a girl and you aren't ready yet to go to heaven? You haven't asked the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins? Now, the subject, we have 5 minutes left. I want to talk about brothers and sisters. This man, the rich man, he said, "Oh, I have 5 brothers. Can you please send someone from this terrible place, from this fire, from these flames, go back to earth and tell them how bad it is here? I don't want my brothers to come here." That's how bad this place is. That God prepared for the devil, not for people. But people that don't want the Lord Jesus, that's where they have to go. There's no other place. God has heaven, and God prepared hell for the devil and his angels, but if people don't want to go to heaven, that's where they got to go. So this man said, "Send somebody to warn my brothers." Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to tell this story quickly. I think most of us know the story of how Moses was a little, fair, beautiful baby. And the bad king said,
I want all the baby boys thrown into the river. Just throw them in. We don't want them anymore. All the Israelite boys, just get rid of them. Can you imagine all the poor dads and moms? And this dad and mom had this little beautiful boy. And, you know, it says that he was fair to God. God looked down and he saw this beautiful baby. And the king said, throw him in the water. And Moses' parents, they hid him till he got to be too big to hide. He cried too loud. And the mom thought, what am I going to do? And she had faith. So she took an ark and she put pitch and slimy stuff on the outside that wouldn't let water through. She took a little baby boy and she put him inside of that and then put it inside in the where the bulrushes were. We know this story. So let's read Exodus 2 just a little bit. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. So she saw this little ark. One of her servants got it. She opened it up and she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. And then it says, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Now this is the sister part, the big sister. You know, I was looking around yesterday, and I saw some families. I saw India's family, because India has a little brother. And you know, Zach has a little brother. And Tom has a little brother. And you know, this older sister, her name was Miriam, she cared about her own little brother. And she probably watched her mom put that ark in the bulrushes, and she probably thought, oh, what's going to happen to my little brother? And she watched to see what would happen. And then along came Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, and the ark was opened, and the baby cried. And guess who was right there? Miriam. She's like, can I get a nurse for you? She was right there. Okay, now we're going to read another verse in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 40. One of the two disciples, the two which heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now notice this verse. And he brought him to Jesus. You know what? Andrew cared about his brother. The first thing he did, he said, ah, I'm going to go find Peter, my brother. I'm going to tell him. So Miriam was the big sister. We don't know whether Andrew was the big brother or not, I don't think. But maybe we'll say it this way. Andrew was the big brother. And he said, ah, I'm going to tell Peter. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. Is it possible to take care of your brothers and sisters and try to encourage them in the things of the Lord? I'm going to tell you it's possible because I have a big brother right here that helped me. He helped me. You know, this dear man, he brought his own brother to the Lord. Miriam took care of her little brother too. You know, we have such a privilege to, don't we, children? You know, the Lord wants us to accept Him as our Savior. But what about our brothers and sisters? We can encourage them, too, to come to the Lord Jesus. You know, this man was warning, this rich man, he warned his brothers.
He wanted his brothers warned not to go to hell. But this man, he brought his own brother to the Lord Jesus. And may we have a desire for our brothers and sisters. And children, one more opportunity you have this morning to accept the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. So as we pray, if you haven't done so, ask the Lord Jesus now to be your Savior too. Let's pray.